present with us. Members, today we have one bill, as you can see, that's on the agenda. Senate File 3266, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr.
Rosen, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much. Senate File 3266 is the a stadium refinance fund. And it looks like this is going to be also my last bill testifying in front of this committee. So it's bittersweet, and it's really appropriate that 10 years ago last week was the anniversary of when the stadium bill was passed. And many of you in this room are familiar with that bill. Senator Marty, Senator Ingebrigtsen was right-hand man. I think Senator Benson was here. Senator Kiffmeyer and Senator Champion. I don't think Senator Franzen was around, or Senator Kent. But at the time, and just to give you a little preamble and set you up for what this bill is going to do, for those of you that aren't aware how the framework of the stadium deal, it's quite complicated. But at the time, the legislature approved the expansion of the statewide charitable gambling, the e-pull tabs, and that was the primary financing for the stadium for the state. The proceeds expected were to cover the state's portion of the $30.2 million annual debt service on the state of Minnesota's 2014 Series AB General Fund appropriation bonds. In 2013, started to have heart palpitations because revenue was coming in short. And so we had to close one of those corporate franchise tax loopholes that was kind of an off-ramp just in case something like this happened. And that resulted in an additional $20 million of the corporate franchise tax receipts available for the debt service. But then the sales of the e-pull tabs, which I must say that was the first in the nation, this concept. And so there was some hiccups along the way. It started to increase. And now we have a reserve balance of in 2025 of a projected from the February 22 forecast of $581 million in 2025. So it's remarkable what e-pull tabs have done. So in 19, MMB, and many of you were on the finance committee, removed this $20 million from the reserve fund. And that was controversial at the time. We've talked about that, but they felt that that was in the statutes that they could do that. So based on the February 22 state budget forecast, the stadium reserve count is now expected to have a $326.8 million balance next year, even with the removal of the $20 million annual corporate franchise tax. There is an opportunity here, members, to use this excise reserves to refinance the 2014 bonds and pass in excess of $210 million of net interest cost savings onto our taxpayers. The bonds are callable next June 1st of 2023, 9.5 years after they've been issued. And I just want to remind you, members, that this is an opportunity to use these funds to pay off this state asset. And this is exactly what we should be doing with those funds. This is a state asset. This is what those funds were used for. There has been several attempts. Well, I shouldn't even say attempts, just queries into, let's grab that money. Let's use it for something else. It always sounds good, whether it's veterans' homes or balancing the budget or whatever you want to use it for, but that money is explicitly to the stadium. So Senate File 3266 does the following: creates a stadium reserve or refinance fund, and the fund can only be used to fees or refinance the stadium appropriation bonds once they become callable in June of 2023. And then October 1st of each year, the commissioner of MMB will transfer everything above $44 million. And $44 million is a number that Commissioner France at the time said that would be a good safe cushion for the stadium, although the debt is 30.2. But 44 million is a good round number that we should just be precautionary with. And that would be enough to cover the annual debt service and other stadium related payments in that stadium reserve fund. So that would happen on October 1st of each year. Annually, MMB commissioner is required to analyze and report to the legislature on the use of the money of the Stadium Reserve Fund and when the fund will be used to defease or refinance the Stadium Reserve Fund. And then once the stadium appropriation bonds are paid off, the blink on revenue sources are repealed. So this would shorten our debt, this shortened term of debt would be by 16 years with a $280.8 million contribution from the Stadium Reserve. We could shorten our debt by 16 years. That's pretty impressive. So if the $282.8 million of the reserve is contributed to reduce the size of refunding the issue while leaving the $44 million in the reserve for our current debt service payments, the present value savings of approximately $59.6 million or 15.8% of the refunded principal amount. The annual cash flow savings of $18.7 million in 2027 and $30.2 million in FY, and then that would be ongoing from FY 28 to FY 2043. And that total savings, cash flow savings of $502.4 million over the life of the bonds, or $219.6 million net of the Stadium Reserve contribution. So this has been long in the works, and we've talked about this for years, because you see this EPOL tab reserve growing and growing. And like I said, there has been many questions and what are we going to do with the fund? And I still say this is the most prudent, responsible thing that we should be doing. However, with further negotiations with MMB, the question of arbitrage has come up. And federal arbitrage concerns result when the state reserves funds and pledges those funds to pay the bonds or to refinance bonds while also earning interest earning on those funds. So I do have the A5 amendment, which would add language to restrict the commissioner from generating interest earnings on the funds pledged to refinance the stadium. So Mr. Chair, if I believe the A5 is in your packet, and I'd like to move the A5 amendment, please.
Members, Chair Rosen offers the A5 amendment. Do you like further discussion or?
Oh yeah, there's much more to the A5, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to get it in place, thank you. Very good. It also brings the question of Minneapolis into the discussion. And when the stadium debt was sold in 2014, Minneapolis debt payments began in 2021. That was part of the legislation because they had other commitments. So the state was paying their debt up till 2021. So they made one payment. And Minnesota Statutes 297A.994 subdivision 4 established that Minneapolis would make payments to the state of Minneapolis or Minnesota equal to $150 million or 2012 net present value. So with all this, there still is this this issue of Minneapolis and how to treat them fairly. So the A5 amendment would basically say the legislature would consult with MMB and consider reducing payments required by the city of Minneapolis under that statute that I just mentioned to reflect any reduced payments that the state of Minnesota must make for new bonds issued for the same purpose. With that, I think I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Nauman. There's also on this issue of Minneapolis, there is a spreadsheet in your packet too that was developed by MMB. And I'd like to personally thank MMB, Jen Hassemer, the assistant commissioner, for putting the time and energy into this. And also Brian Dahl, who did this spreadsheet, because they did, instead of a fiscal note, they were able to show that there is going to be a loss on net receipts of $4.342 million because of the arbitrage issue. But with that, I would like to turn it over to Mr. Nauman.
Thank you, Chair Rosen. Mr. Nauman.
So, Mr. Chair and members, if I can call your attention to the attached, my apologies, Senator Marty. Can you hear me now? Is that better? If I can call members' attention to the spreadsheet that's in your packet, it's a little bit of a different style of spreadsheet than what we have used before. Members in this committee know that there are a collection of revenue sources that are forecasted in the February forecast, in any forecast for that matter. And among those revenue sources is an assumed amount of interest that is generated off of state cash, essentially. And that revenue accrues to the general fund by law. When the arbitrage issue that Senator Rosen identified was brought to her attention, a fiscal question followed logically. If the money that is transferred from the stadium reserve and set aside for this new purpose is essentially turned off from interest earnings, then there is some amount of interest earnings that would be baked into the forecast attributable to those resources that would also would be reduced. So fiscal staff worked with MMB to essentially quantify the amount of revenue lost or foregone interest earnings that would have been generated off those resources. And that's what this spreadsheet attempts to demonstrate. Members will note that and I think what I'll do is call your attention to the boxes on the far right-hand side of the spreadsheet. It's the cash flow analysis of how much interest earnings accrues to the state based on the current forecast over the months for each of the fiscal years in question. So based on these estimates, $956,000, if Senator Rosen's bill is adopted, will be scored as a revenue loss in fiscal year 23. An additional $1.4 million will be lost. It will be foregone interest in fiscal year 24, and then an additional 1.95, basically $2 million of revenue loss in fiscal year 25. Together, those amounts represent a loss of revenue of interest earnings of $4.3 million over time. And to jump in front of what I anticipate to be a future question, how much money is transferred under the language of the base bill itself? This spreadsheet also shows those numbers in the lower left-hand corner. As Senator Rosen indicated, the bill proposes to leave $44 million or the expenses attributable for 1 year's stadium payments in the stadium reserve. That's the middle column, the amount that's left. The balances for the stadium reserve is the 212, the 326, 449, and the 581. That's what's in the stadium reserve based on current projections, or will be in the stadium reserve. And the amount set aside is that final column, that's the set aside balance. So those would be the amounts that would be transferred. And from those amounts, the calculations above in the spreadsheet are those amounts are used to calculate the potential interest lost.
Members, any questions?
Senator Ingebrigtsen, or Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Mr. Chair, I think there is a question of, okay, so the bonds are callable next year. Why are we doing this bill now when they could go ahead, MMB can go ahead and do this anyway next year? And that is the very question that I want to secure somewhat as the chief author of the stadium bill back in 2012. I want to ensure that everyone that continues working in this area and understands the importance of the state's assets and how much money that is being generated by this fund, how critical it is to continue to use it in the proper way and not as a slush fund like so many other special revenue funds have become, especially when there's times of some budget shrinking or you know, deficits. And so this is, I think, a really worthy conversation. There is interest in the House, especially Senator or Representative Mike Nelson has it, and he was instrumental in the stadium bill at the time too. I would really love to get this bill done and make sure that we have this set in place so MMB has parameters of our expectations going forward next year when those bonds can be defeased. And as far as the Minneapolis piece, a letter from MMB to recap, the state had been paying the debt service on the bonds since 2014 of June. to the total amount of $228.2 million. And then the state has started to recapture the city's sales and hospitality tax, because all of that was being used to defease the convention center bonds in January of last year. So 7 years after the original stadium bonds were sold. In 2020, MMB and the city agreed on a schedule of amounts that would be withheld from the city's sales and hospitality tax revenues through 2046. And at this time, they're holding 18.16 million per year for the city for their debt service amount. That is also a benefit. And I think one of the reasons why this should get done, we should pay off the stadium as quickly, because that would also relieve Minneapolis obligation too. So with that, I stand for questions, Mr. Chair.
Senator Chapman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Rosen, can you repeat what you said on the latter part of your presentation about the savings to Minneapolis? Because one of the questions I had and continue to have is there an opportunity to also provide some sort of savings for the city of Minneapolis as well? Because it's my understanding that they have three different revenue streams or obligations that they have to pay. And so I can see, you know, that there's a benefit in refinancing here, but can you repeat the latter part of what you said, and also tell me if there's any other benefit that we could potentially, you know, generate for the city of Minneapolis as well?
Senator Rose.
Thank you, Senator Champion. And that is a great question. I do know, going back to the day that the bill was signed, there was $1.5 billion of projects, construction on the books for Minneapolis in that surrounding area. And if you remember, the Metrodome had nothing around there, just empty parking lots. So that was a great benefit for the city of Minneapolis. And we did have to basically carry Minneapolis for those 7 years, because as I said, their obligation was to the convention center, which is now has been paid off. But as you can see, if we pay our debt down quicker, that's also going to happen to Minneapolis. But I am going to defer to Mr. Nauman, who can explain the reason why we don't know how those bonds are structured. And I think he could probably explain it better.
Mr. Nauman.
So, Mr. Chair, Senator Champion, I'll do my best to try to unpack a number of complicated topics as it relates to Minneapolis. I apologize. My voice is still not as strong as I'd like it to be. Under the language of Senator Rosen's proposal, there is a resource that is taken from the stadium reserve and deposited into a new fund. The purposes of that fund are to be used, right, under the language of the bill, to be a part or a component of a refinancing of the existing stadium bonds at the call date. And the call date is when the bonds can be refinanced. As you know, Senator Champion, under current law, Minneapolis has a liability to the ongoing debt service equal to what was computed in 2012 as $150 million of net present value. And those payments began in 2021. Because the call date is a point in future, when the bonds will be refinanced, and the exact structure of that, of those bond financing cannot be known at this point in time, it is a difficult financial exercise to determine what the proper benefit that Minneapolis should receive when the exact structure of the bonds, as we sit here today, could not be known. So in some respects, what Senator Rosen's A5 attempts to do is to place a marker in the legislation to express that the legislature should work with the Commissioner of Management and Budget after the bonds have been resold and refinanced, assuming that that does in fact happen, to provide Minneapolis with a benefit. I've had some conversations with some of the folks at in Minneapolis, they're, I think they would say to you, they're hoping for some proportionality in the reduction. But the financial construct gets further complicated by the fact that the Minneapolis payments, as Senator Rosen indicated, did not effectively turn on until 2021. So that, I think what most financial minds would suggest, that has to be incorporated into whatever thinking is required, so that the relationship, I think you're thinking, the relationship between the Minneapolis payments in the original legislation is more or less reflected and accommodated in whatever savings accrues to the state and the city at the same time that the bonds are financed. I'm going to pause here, Senator Champion, because I know that I threw a number of items at you and just asked back, did that answer where you were hoping to go?
Thank you,
Senator. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I do would to like to supplant what Mr. Nauman was saying. So, Senator Champion, there's three basically revenue streams that are the commitment from Minneapolis. One is the capital improvement of $2 million annually, and the other is operating expenses of $8 million annually. Those would continue on. It's the debt service. That's the third revenue stream that would blink off if these bonds were paid.
Senator Champion, follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Senator Rosen, I'm looking at the adopted A5 amendment,
mm-hmm.
and I see that you have this in here as a placeholder requiring MMB to work with the city of Minneapolis around reducing it or evaluating it, right? If there's the opportunity to reduce any debt, so. Would you be open to, in my mind, requiring it, like requiring that you do it, number one, and then number two, that in the event that any refinancing can happen of their debt, that that would be required to be done in the future? And I know that there's a possibility of, obligating another legislature. I know that is always something, but a directive might be helpful as well, especially if we believe that the financial model as it sits right now cannot tell us what the savings will be for Minneapolis, and that there's this mechanism for you to say, okay, MMB, I'm requiring you to take a look at this. And then if there is a possibility of savings that could happen with these bonds, then we should give potentially a directive to say do so, in order to make sure that whatever savings that you are at least anticipating that could occur, occurs. Have you thought about that? And what are your thoughts about that, Senator Rosen?
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Champion. I have thought about that. I don't think the discussion is as easy as it sounds. There is a lot of discussion about the savings and what happens after this debt is paid for. In another realm, I know, I'd like to defer to Mr. Nauman too, because he has further information on that.
So,
Mr. Nauman.
Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, Senator Champion, first it's probably worth mentioning that the law that Senator Rosen is proposing is to move a resource from one place in the general fund, the stadium reserve, and stick it into a new fund, and then dedicate that use for buying, refinancing the stadium bonds. That doesn't change the liability that Minneapolis has to the state to help pay the current bonds. That would require a law change in order to make that happen. The legislature could choose at this point in time to make a law change. I think the thinking from the author is, because a financial analysis needs to happen in after the bonds have been paid to assess what the proper relationship with the Minneapolis future payments and the state's future payments to the ongoing refinance debt would be, that there's essentially, I think folks are thinking there's a two-step legislative process. One, what Senator Rosen is proposing today, and then at a point in time in the future, After the bonds have been sold, any financial analysis can be computed on the resulting savings to incorporate savings that would essentially reflect the overall savings and the new bonds into what the ongoing Minneapolis payments would look like. But as we sit here today, incorporating the Minneapolis savings in law today, in the form of adjusting that $150 million net present value number, I couldn't begin to analyze that until we know what the bond changes look like.
So follow up.
So my concern is wanting to try to find the right space in place in order to make sure that there's a balanced savings and a balanced approach to the refinancing of the bonds, and then also look at what we can do for the city of Minneapolis. And my other question for the city of Minneapolis will always be, what are you gonna do with the savings, right? Any savings that you might get. So I want the city of Minneapolis to be on notice that it is not just about that, but there's another question, because I'm still waiting for some information, even from my wonderful city, that would be helpful. But I recognize that Fatima Moore has been doing a really good job, but there's others within the city that is hampering even her work. So I'll continue to explore those notions. And I just want to go on the record saying that I do want to find a place or space where the city could have some relief, because my constituents will have some relief. But I recognize what we're trying to accomplish today. But I'll continue to have some discussions with you, Senator Rosen. And I just want to make sure that you're open to exploring some other ways by which to help the city of Minneapolis if we can.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Champion, I was just thinking that because this is the first bill hearing of this bill, maybe normally we don't do this in finance. We only bring commissioners and assistant commissioners, but perhaps someone from the city of Minneapolis could come up to explain their position and for the record. And I do think it is something that is a work in progress as we go along, but
Senator Rosen,
I'm not sure who.
I'm wondering if this time we shouldn't adopt the E.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah. Senator Rosen renews her motion to adopt the A5 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Adopt. Thank you. Is there somebody that would like to come up?
And I believe, Mr. Chair, that would be Fatima Moore.
Good morning. Welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. My name is Fatima Moore, for the record. I'm the Intergovernmental Relations Director for the City of Minneapolis. And before I begin, I do want to thank Senator Rosen for working with the city. We have been in conversations with her about the stadium finance payoff account. As discussions are happening, we continue to be in contact with her about the city's position on the account as well. I would like to go to what Senator Champion said regarding the city's position. As part of the A5 amendment, what you see regarding proportionality savings with the city of Minneapolis is what we discussed previously with Senator Rosen, and actually worked with Mr. Nauman as well. Over the last couple of days, we have been in discussion as well, since the bill was going to be up on the Senate floor again, with our House delegation members and our city leadership as well, to determine what additional savings the city of Minneapolis could see as it became even more clear that this bill was moving ahead. The city of Minneapolis technically has 5 obligations for the entire stadium, in addition to the $150 million that the city put up when the agreement was being reached. We also pay into several other buckets or pockets of funds. And Mr. Nauman, I know that you're well-versed in this, so correct me if I misstate anything as well. We pay for some of the operating expenses for the stadium. We also pay into the MFSA account. We also pay some capital improvements cost for the stadium as well. And it's our belief that if the state is going to refinance these the stadium account, that the city of Minneapolis should see some benefits in some of those tax obligations to us as well. We recognize, Senator Rosen, you're absolutely right. When the deal was cut, there was massive investments that came to the city of Minneapolis, to your point, upwards of $1 billion. And that has been beneficial for the city. It's been beneficial for the entire state of Minnesota as well. And we're very pleased and thankful that we have such a state-of-the-art infrastructure within the city of Minneapolis. However, between 2014, when the deal was struck, and until now, the financial situation within the city of Minneapolis is much different as well. And therefore, we would like to see some of those savings and some of those operating expenses, and the ones that I mentioned before, also benefit the residents of Minneapolis, because they are the ones who are also paying for some of these long-term maintenance costs for the Viking Stadium. So I wanted to get on the record to say that we are continuing to be in discussions with you and really look forward to finding an agreement. As you know, Minneapolis delegation, we also have a House side as well. And so we're also working together with them to make sure that there is alignment and agreement toward what is going to be beneficial for the entire city. So I really appreciate that, and thank you.
Thank you, members. Any questions? Senator Champion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the testifier, Ms. Moore, I know you talked about the various components that the city pays for, operating costs, maintenance, and so on and so forth. Do you all have any proposals or ideas as to how, or for Senator Rosen and us to consider what would be helpful for the city of Minneapolis with a little more specificity, if you have any?
Absolutely, Chair and Senator Champion. So we currently are looking at three options at the moment. The first is what is somewhat alluded to in the E5 amendment as well. It's around recalculating the net present value for the city's contribution to the debt service support. And as has been said, it's difficult to calculate what that savings is going to be, because we don't know what that financing rate will be when the bonds are ultimately, hopefully, recalled, perhaps in 2023. So I can't really put a number to that right now. In addition to that, there's a desire to recalculate Minneapolis' contribution to the operating expense. And that would look like, for example, freezing the contribution amount for the city at the current 2021 level for fiscal years 2023 through fiscal years 2025. And then with that, putting a cap on an increase to about no more than 3% after 2025. That would garner roughly, and these numbers are from the city's finance department, so understanding how nuanced the calculations are, we may be off a bit, but we estimate about a $66 million savings for the city of Minneapolis if we were to go with that as an option as well. Additionally, there is the contribution to the MSFA account. And the next proposal would be to recalculate that contribution to taxes. And it essentially would require continuing with the existing formula for that account, and then also capping the city's annual contribution at $2 million. That would also generate overall, so for the life of this debt from 2021 up until 2047, that would roughly be about $187 million savings for the city of Minneapolis specifically. So those are the proposals and options that we are looking at the moment.
Senator Champion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for your patience, Mr. Chair. Thank you to Senator Rosen for at least allowing the city to come up and testify, but I just hope that we see that when we all step forward in order to be helpful around this important facilities, that we as a city took on some extra burden. And I believe that we're always just working as a team, you know, parting the the analogy here, but I just hope that as that team, that as we go forward, that we just try to figure out ways by which to be beneficial for not only the overall stadium reserve fund and bonds, but also how other taxpaying Minnesotans can have some relief, or the city can have some relief, because as they pay for this, then that means something else is not being considered and taken care of. So thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to Fatima. Unless anyone else has another question, I'll be quiet.
Mr. Chair. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I could ask Ms. Moore if she has calculated how much the savings would be if the bonds were paid off, what would the savings be for Minneapolis?
Ms. Moore.
Chair and Senator Rosen, I don't have those calculations at hand, but I can certainly work with my finance folks to get that for you. And so the question is, calculate overall savings if the bonds are paid off.
I'm just looking at to date, there was one year's payment of $18.16 million over the life of the bonds with interest. Mm-hmm. So that would be something that I think we should keep in mind too. That will absolutely be a benefit to the city that debt is released.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So it's kind of exciting to see we're actually talking about this substantial financial benefit all around. But I think I wanted to speak to the fact that I think of people in my area who drive down, spend money, right? People from all over Minnesota come and spend money. And those revenues have accrued specifically most often to Minneapolis and some of the surrounding areas as well. So sometimes I kind of get the impression that Minneapolis is this little spot here, but you know, rural Minnesota, in addition to being the breadbasket for the state, contributing a great deal in the value that they give, but also contributing, you might say, and then all of them can benefit from that. So I just thought I'd just put that a little bit in.
To that point, Senator Champion.
To that point, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer. I just want to correct something that you said. Rural Minnesota is important as well, and I don't want to pit rural Minnesota against the city of Minneapolis, but we have to certainly remember that we all benefit when we have important structures in our great state, and that Minneapolis is the economic engine for the state. And I just want us to be really clear about that economic engine, because I heard you use the word that the economic breadbasket. I think I heard you say, is that what you said? What did you say? Oh, bread basket. Okay. But you know, I enjoy bread. I just want you to be clear that I recognize.
No pun intended, by the way. No pun intended about the bread.
So she
have a knife, so I'm sorry.
So I just want us to be clear that Minneapolis is an important notion, as is the rest of the state. I'm not trying to pit one versus the other, but I don't want us to diminish the value of what the city of Minneapolis does, because I think we all benefit.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
I just want to say the hotbed for Minnesota is Southern Minnesota. I'm just going to say we could have an argument all day about. But this, I do want to mention too, how important for Minneapolis, I think this bill is, not only because of the debt that they're going to be relieved from, but also their city sales and hospitality taxes can be used for other purposes. They won't be, that won't be obligated. And certainly open to looking at something like this. I feel we needed more time. This bill would have probably been the first bill this year if we hadn't had this surplus, because you know there would have been eyes and targets on that money to be used for other purposes besides the stadium. And there's benefits all across the board by passing this bill and sending a signal to the governor's office too, that this is a huge priority. Senator Champion, I hope you can help me with this, because I do think this conversation needs to continue. And I plan on having this this great discussion on the floor. And I'm hoping the House will have time too. They are committed also. But the work just doesn't stop with this bill. There's many other issues. For example, as Senator Kiffmeyer mentioned, what happens, and you too, Senator Chambliss, what happens with the extra money that comes in? What are we, you know, where's the relief there? Not only to Minneapolis, but to the state in some capacity. And I think that's the next ongoing discussion.
Senator Rosen, Senator Pratt had a question. And then I think we're going to go to Jen Hosmer. Is it Hosmer? Senator Pratt. Maybe not.
No, Mr. Chair, I had my question answered. Thanks.
Okay. Madam Chair, we do have Jen Hosmer.
Hosmer.
Would like to make a few comments. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Chair Rosen. For the record, my name is Jennifer Hosmer. I'm Assistant Commissioner for Debt Management at Minnesota Management and Budget. Wanted to thank you for the opportunity to say just a couple words on Senate File 3266 today. We've had a number of conversations about stadium refinancing issues over the years and appreciated the opportunity to raise some of our technical concerns earlier this session. We appreciate the attention that the committee is giving to the federal arbitrage issue and an attempt to work around that. However, we have expressed technical concerns with the language in Senate File 3266, even as amended. When it comes time for the state to refinance the stadium bonds, MMB, consistent with all of our past and current practice on managing the state's debt portfolio and approaching refinancing transactions, we will be seeking out the best financial deal for the state at that time based on current market conditions. Our primary concern about the language in the bill and the prescriptive nature of segregating the stadium reserve funds is that it might limit some options available to the state when we seek to refinance the debt and may also create some unintended consequences by elevating the federal arbitrage issues by imposing a potentially some additional federal tax liabilities, or as has been discussed quite a bit here today, restricting the investment income that would otherwise accrue to the general fund. We're happy to continue these conversations as the bill moves along and working out any additional technical concerns on the language. I'm happy to answer any other technical questions that the committee might have today.
Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry. I have a question with regards to the unintended consequences, possibly. Could you be a little more clear there?
Under the context of what, Mr. Chair? Of if we don't do this, Mr. Chair?
If we do it, I believe, is if we do it, there might be unintended consequences.
Is that how
I understood it?
I wrong? What the assistant commissioner was talking about is the arbitrage issue.
That's what it was. Okay.
That's what it was.
All right.
Yeah, that's correct.
Members, any other questions? Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have any more questions for the commissioner. If you wanted to stay there first, if there were any with that, otherwise.
No, I don't believe there's any other questions for the commissioner.
Okay. The one thing that I think I wanted to bring up was when these are paid off, and you have to remember a lot of this revenue, where this came from, is from our local charities. Mm-hmm. They are the ones that have been paying this. Now, there are, again, other sources of revenue. I recognize that contribution, so on, but a large part of this. And I think when we get to the point of where this is not needed for this particular purpose, I think it is really important the benefit to the cities, suburbs, everywhere in the state of Minnesota, 4-H, local sports teams, our local hospitals and nursing homes. These local charities, each in their own communities, there are needs that this money could be tremendously beneficial to. And they've been heavily taxed, and really living on a shoestring in regards to all their volunteer efforts and what they have done in order to do this. And there has been a great benefit then And I think when this is all done, this really needs to go back, and that our local charities should be able to retain this money for charitable purposes in their own communities all throughout the state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Senator Chapman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, I just want to be clear that when this bill was first done, there was charitable gambling, and then there was other pool tabs and other things. Because the charitable part was not working as well as it could, then that's when we had the backstop. And even when charitable gambling was done, they received a benefit, an economic benefit already, right? And so I just want now that to be clear, unless someone wants to correct me, but they were receiving a benefit in order to participate. So I just want to make sure that we make sure that we're clear that there was the economic incentive for them to participate, and that I don't want us to suggest that someone is heavily taxed, because then we get into a different debate when we think in terms of heavily taxed. That seems to be something that's being said that is inaccurate. And I just want us to make sure that but I do agree with this, Senator Kiffmeyer, that we should try to make sure that all Minnesotans benefit whenever we can, because we are one Minnesota. So I do agree with that notion, but I want to just make sure that we understand that everyone who participated in this whole notion received a benefit, even the designer of the games, because there was also that notion. So if I'm wrong, someone who's at that dais can correct me.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I think the principle is what I am speaking to, and I tried to speak in a broad way. So I think maybe taking something specific that is meant to be broadly. And I think that those local charities who took a risk in the beginning to do this, and it has been a challenge for them, and now it is being successful to the benefit of a variety of people. So I'm speaking in a general way, so I hope we can take it in that context. Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. I think
Chair.
We should stick with the bill here, so.
Thank you.
And it is about the bill. You know, I mean, there's a lot of work that went into this, so we understand the passion. Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We did not realize the relationship between the managers, the VFW managers, and the distributors of the paper pull tabs. Or that was why it sunk. The e-pull tabs sank the first 2 years, and it was amazing. Had not a clue about these relationships. I mean, they have pictures of 8x10 pictures of their charitable gaming manager up on their mantles. But I do want to say, just to bring this around, there was a considerable amount of benefit to the charities at the time. Senator Champion's right, towards that bill, with this bill. But I do think there is relief, and we've been working on relief to our charities in a lot of other areas. But this is an area that I hope will continue, that we can use these funds for. Another area, too, that I think needs to be developed with these excess dollars, if these bonds are paid off in 2023, is a capital improvement fund for the stadium. We do not have one at this point, and we need to make sure that this state asset remains whole and the gem that it is ongoing. And then the other one is a sports venue fund to attract big sporting events. I think that would be areas that I would like to see funding. But I do want to say, Mr. Chair, that Hennepin County refinanced their twin stadium bonds after 9.5 years, and they have used the excess sales tax revenues to save over $130 million in debt service while shortening the final maturity by more than 5 years. And at this pace, they're expected to that the county will pay off the bonds in 10 years early. So that was, I was on the conference committee for the twin stadium, and a very tenuous bill itself, but it's proved to be very successful and great benefit for the county and the city also there. Mr. Chair, I'm not sure if there's any other questions.
Are there any questions? Any further questions?
Senator Marty, you're pretty quiet.
I understand a proposal here. it's quite exciting that we're able to be able to, in these times, be able to do this, quite frankly. And I think Minnesota can be, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Proud of themselves to get this done. And Senator Marty, you have some comments.
Mr. Chair, Senator Rosen, since you had me on, no, I'm not going to go into the stadium issues 10 years later, but yeah, I was not pleased with the deal. I don't think taxpayers should be funding these, but having said that, I'm glad that the revenue is coming in faster than expected and that we can do some things to save taxpayers money. And I think both for Minneapolis and the state, we've got to find a way to do that well. So. Good.
Good. Seeing no further discussion, the bill before us, any final discussion?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I do appreciate that, Senator Murray. I do think the conversation will continue about what it means to the state to relieve this debt, what it means to the city. And I think that is something that we need to continue to discuss. I hope we can come to an agreement that is sensible for the city and beneficial. And also for the Vikings, because they do have the loopholes that they're, if this thing flopped and we couldn't pay the $44 million per year for our debt service, they would be on the hook. And that's the only thing they have involved in this, is that their, I think the suite tax would be eliminated in something else. I can't remember. But this is absolutely a responsibility, I believe, of the legislature to guide MMB and give them strong guidance on how to handle this tremendous debt and pay this off as soon as we can with the funds that are growing. And then we have the taxpayers are the windfall on this. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen, this being your last bill, would you like to move the bill?
I would, thank you. I move Senate File 3266 as amended be recommended to pass and placed on general orders.
Any further questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. The bill passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members.
And Madam Chair, I don't believe there's anything more before the committee.
No, Mr. Chair, I believe we have just one bill on the agenda for tomorrow. And since I didn't bring donuts today, I better bring donuts tomorrow.
Okay. So we will be meeting tomorrow. Until then, we stand adjourned.